This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, God.
Just as abrupt as when I remembered it from last week's episode.
Yeah, it is.
I think.
It is jarring a little bit, but that was a hell of a riff. I loved that guitar. Damn.
That was the I Think theme song. Mm-hmm. Homage to when Ben joined us last week, seemingly by accident.
Yes.
Long-time listener, second-time theme songstress.
Whoa.
The first time was the Across the Sea Weezer cover.
Oh, I remember that one. That's a good one.
So they've got another prog rock album out, and you can find it at springsilver.bandcamp.com.
Dope.
And that's Kieran. K-I-E-R-A-N.
Huh?
Kieran.
What? Kieran? Yeah.
Well, it's spelled Sarah, S-A-R-A.
Huh?
But I feel like it's pronounced Kieran. Kieran.
S-A-R-A?
Yeah.
How do you spell it?
How would you
it?
Pronounce that?
Are you...
S-A-R-A, yeah.
Sarah? What?
Yeah, is that how you say it? Sorry,
why
yeah.
Did you say for some why reason, did you pronounce it Karen? Kieran.
I thought it was a silent S.
A silent S makes the sound of a K. Okay?
No, it's K-I-E. R-A-N.
Okay. Nice.
So there you have it. Thank you, Kieran. Sarah. All right. We're going to do some rapid fire questions and answers today. Since we didn't get to many questions last week, I said let's cram in as many as possible.
That's
this
smart.
Week.
Yeah. You posted on Instagram. Question.
Yeah.
One question from Rachel Moore just says, you look awful. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
What makes you...
Not really a question, but
a comment.
I for sure... look poor.
That deserves a response. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were talking about you in the second photo. They were talking about you in the second photo, by the way. The one where
yeah.
you just had a nice
Which
haircut
was when I was,
and everything looked fine.
Yeah. That's when I was happier and healthier and they said I looked poor.
Mm.
I should say I look poorly, not poor, but yeah, I don't look happy and healthy in the first photo. It's sort of a photo I took to show how like crazy this year has been.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose like a very drab filter, made my hair look really stringy and bags under my eyes. My grays are just popping out. So yeah, this is it accurately portrays how insane this year has been, but I tried to ham it up as much as possible.
Right. Do you feel like your hair is going, it's no longer just gray on the sides. Is it gray on the top?
It's like a lot of gray on the sides. That's where the majority is. And then like a few random silver hairs on top as well. But the majority of it is still on the sides, but it's spreading.
So if you could, if between three different hair colors, one, just all still the dark, dark brown hair that you had, two, current mm-hmm. hair, or three, full silver fox, like just a straight up gray dome, what would you want to do?
The Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
I appreciate the transition I'm going through. So it's very like, you know, slowly and steadily. Well, you have some grays. Oh, yeah, you have some pretty solid amount. Okay, now I'm about like at a third gray. I feel like if I went straight to silver completely, it would be like jarring, like I bleached my hair or something. Yeah,
but I'm looking forward to you having that. That's going to be fun. It'll be cool to see.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. My dad definitely has it and has had it for a while now, so I'm ready for it as well.
And he had dark hair like you when he was a boy?
He had black hair, so his turned gray just from like black to white. Mine is doing a more brown to reddish to gray to silver.
Interesting.
But the next photo of me was from January, so I have like a nice haircut and I look happy and warm. But everyone's like, oh, you got a haircut. Congratulations. When'd you get it? How'd you get it cut? And I have to like respond to my friends being like, no, I didn't. I actually still look like the trash yeah. photo from the first
this
one.
This isn't a before and
this
after.
Was 6 months ago.
It's a present yeah. past, unfortunately. This isn't a, yeah. it's not an upgrade. The photo you saw right. first, the one that was horrifying, is the one that I am.
It's current.
So don't say congratulations. Right. Don't say you look good, because I actually look bad. I look like the one that you think is an improvement.
That you said
from.
That was bad.
Yeah.
Right. Hopefully I'm just one haircut away from seeming like that second person, but I don't know. I'm scared to find out, to get that haircut and see what happens next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's possible.
And beard trim.
That's right.
But enough about me. We got a lot of questions.
We did. Shall we?
Did any of them strike your fancy?
Well, here's a nice one that I like from Luke Underhill. What fashion trend would you like to be able to pull off? Fashion trend that you would be able to pull off. I feel like even now there are trends that come. And I think about like, wow, I wonder if I would need to do that. And then they yeah. like go away.
Eye patch.
I don't know if that's like a, sure. I mean, that would not be a convenient one because you would.
As an accessory.
Yeah. Depth perception would be like an issue. But.
Yeah.
It's
more COVID friendly because it can get in through your eyes. So if you cover one of them, it's a little that much better.
That's good. Okay. Eye patch aside, do you remember yeah. The trend of like really skinny jeans and a really long shirt? Like a shirt that looks kind of like a nightgown, and then you have like little sticky jeans?
Yeah. Well, shirts themselves are getting baggier, pants were getting tighter.
But now so, I feel like well yeah, now it's everything.
There was an overlap.
Now everything's getting baggier. Like pants are big and balloony again, which I'm kind of into.
Oh no.
Because I like they're very comfortable. Like I don't mind not wearing skinny pants. That seems like I'll hop on board that one, you know?
Wow.
Also big like chunky sneakers, like really, really comfortable shoes are sort of in trend right now, which I like also.
Yeah. Another nerdy thing that kind of came back was like high socks with shorts.
Oh yeah.
Like that was pretty nerdy in the 90s and 2000s. And now it's like generally well accepted.
I'm wearing it right now. I also love high socks because it's just so comfortable. I feel like no-show socks just constantly are like slipping down to your heels and just like always fidgeting with them. And now I just like wear above like ankle cut socks and it's so nice.
Even if it's like hot and humid and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if it's hot and humid, it's not that much different. Like you have a little on your ankle, but you're still wearing, you know, sneakers and socks. Like I don't think that like no-show socks kept me very much cooler.
Yeah. But yeah, you feel comfortable doing that one. Is there one that you don't feel comfortable? Is it the baggy pants one yet? Is it the baggy shirt one yet?
Yeah. I don't think I could wear baggy everything. I mean, I don't think I ever wear anything that's like that trendy. It's sort of just like on the margins of trendy.
There's also nowhere to go. Like, where are you dressing up fashionably interesting to? Just like a supermarket?
Yeah. I guess like fashion wise, I'm more into like kind of like tech, like performance type wear these days that it's like very, very comfortable. Because if I'm doing anything, I'm like riding my bike outside.
Interesting.
But like, I'm not dressing up to like, you know, I'm not buying a new watch to go to a restaurant with or something.
Right.
That's not happening.
Do you see my shirt now?
Why Jot? What is that?
It's from a HeadGum sketch 3 years ago. Jeffrey ordered the shirt and sent it to me as kind of like a gag gift.
Oh, that's, and now you, wait, did he do it recently or he sent it to you years ago?
Yes.
He did it recently?
No, the video is years ago. He sent it to me last week.
Why?
He's pitching in the sketch, like literally from 2017, I think. He's pitching me t-shirt ideas, and one of them is why Jot? And then I'm like, why is that a shirt? And he goes, I don't know, why Jot?
And then he just gave it to you?
That's right.
Cool. Respect.
All right, next question.
Sure.
Any advice for a first-time home buyer?
Wow.
What a time to buy. Yeah, let's talk. Let's talk. You're ready in the middle of a pandemic to make a large-scale investment in your future. Potentially, this is a good time for it.
I think this is a good time to buy. The thing that's, I don't know. You can get the lowest like mortgage rates. I think they're below 3%.
Which is like when you...
For the first time since like the 70s.
When you're borrowing money to...
That's the interest, yeah, that you pay back on.
To buy a house, you want like to pay as little interest as possible.
But I also know...
It's usually in like the 3-5 range as of recently, and now it's below 3, you said, for the first time.
Right. But also buying a house right now, I think, is harder because of said pandemic, because everyone's losing their jobs. So banks are... they're a little more risk averse right now, whereas like before you could maybe put 10% down or whatever. Like now, it depends what kind of loan you're qualified, what your income is, how much you can put down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you feel like your job is secure and you can buy a house right now, that's a solid move, I think, because you can lock in a super low interest rate.
Okay. So what's the first step? What do you have to do?
First step, you have to get pre-qualified. Getting pre-qualified is very easy. You send somebody your like your income, your W-2s, what your job is, a whole bunch of information. They basically write a letter that says, Jake is like conditionally approved for this loan. And then you can give that to a real estate agent and that'll like let you go in and start seeing houses.
Right. So first step is... You have to get that pre-qualification letter authorization that even allows you to make an offer. Before that, it's like, don't even make an offer if you can't get somebody at a bank to prove that they might be interested in loaning you the amount of the house.
That is the weird thing, because I remember that when I bought my first house, like I kind of thought that the pre-qualification letter was like the same thing as the loan. And I'm like, wow, that was easy. And I like made the offer. I got it. And then they're like, all right, now you have to go get the loan. I was like, well, son, I just showed them the letter. Like, oh no, the letter means nothing. Find every single piece of paper that anyone gave you relating to money for the last 5 years. And then you have to just like beg, borrow, and steal to prove to the bank that you're worth a damn, that you'll make good on the loan. And then they'll give you the money.
Yeah. And then you slowly pay that back over the next 30 years.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Indeed. But that's my advice for the first time home buyer is just like dive in, because you will learn so much as you go. So don't let us scare you away.
A lot of questions that are just like, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. All right. Everyone's okay. We're not good and we're not awful. We're just okay. So yeah, I'm okay. I resent the accusation, Joey Redican. I guess he's just being nice. Sorry. I don't know why I snapped at him.
You're kind of getting trolled. You're getting dragged. It makes sense that you would lash out like that.
Here's one for Matt Lefevre. Are you okay? You look sickly. Yeah. So that one's sort of like, are you okay because you look bad? But
right. Yeah. So I think what's unfortunate is that you clearly baited everyone to insult you in a way almost like you wanted it. You posted a really ugly photo of yourself, but then you can't handle the criticism. You don't want...
Oh, here's
feedback.
An interesting one. Sure. Garden Noam says, what's your favorite Israeli snack?
Hummus.
I like to think of myself as a little Israeli snack. But
but
honestly,
everyone thinks that you look sick and unwell, and they think you're ugly. And
so
they think
I'll
you're bad.
Say beastly.
So you're not very snackable.
I like a bamba. It's like that peanut butter Cheeto puff situation. I don't know if you had that in Israel.
Yeah, I remember those. I remember that hummus place that we went to that was so good that you just like fucking dipped an onion. Like they just like
so thick.
I feel like I never had...
You eat it not even with a pita, just with a fucking loose onion strip.
Yeah, like I never had hummus before that I didn't just like have with like a pretzel. Like I thought I liked hummus, but I was just eating like Sabra hummus with pretzel. And then we went to that place in Israel that, God, it was just like you could just eat it. You would want to eat it with a spoon. It was so good.
Yeah, like a soup.
And I got a Coca-Cola. My God, Coca-Cola's good.
You get yourself a Mexican Coke later today. You've earned it.
I think I did. Are you, Junt? Junt says, are you still interested in acting in movies or on TV? Both of you are so talented. So I wanted to say thank you, first of all.
Wow.
And what do you think about acting? Does that appeal to you?
No, not so much, especially now. Even before this whole pandemic, I didn't necessarily want to spend all day on set, you know, reading some lines, getting ready, memorizing, and then acting for minutes a day on a 12-hour shoot location.
Right.
But now the fact that it's dangerous to be around anyone, a film set feels extra precarious, and unless you, like, truly love it and that's your passion, I'm turned off by it even more so.
Fair. Fair enough. What if there was no pandemic? Would you want to be an actor?
Oh, absolutely. I want to sing. I want to dance. I deserve you wanna be a star. Be on the stage. I want to be on the silver screen. Which way to Hollywood, boy? Over there. You take the bus down to Hollywood and Vine. That's me in the corner.
Wow. Look at all the grays you have.
Oh, I'll dye them, mister, if it means you'll give me a shot in your picture.
We'd have to do something about the sags under your eyes as well.
Well, that's why they make makeup now. Calm down, because you're starting to make me feel a little sad. How can I act if I'm really upset about the way I look?
Your teeth are gray.
That's quite enough. I'll be an editor then. Put me in a dark room. Give me the footage. I can cut together all the people that look better than me. Better than me.
They're tossing you in a dumpster.
You're fired for masturbating to the dailies. Well then, I didn't think you were looking. I thought I could get away with that.
Abandon the song.
I'm sad today about that. I've been kicked and ostracized from the film community. Can I be an accountant or a line producer? No, the stigma, it follows you from every job you'll ever have. You're a social pariah now. You're on deadline now. You have to delete your accounts. My social media accounts? No, your bank. No, your bank and your house is foreclosed. Get out the way and go to prison. Go to jail. You're done over here.
Oh, good.
Good lord. So that's sort of like a Les Mis sequel of sorts, where a guy gets wrongfully accused. I was hardly squeezing myself.
You said you masturbated to the dailies. Your excuse to masturbating to the dailies was, I thought I could get away with that. So not wrongfully accused. If you get accused and your defense is, oh, I thought I could get away with that. What an insane defense. How do you plead? I plead that I thought I could have gotten away with it.
So not quite guilty, but not quite innocent either.
You're a social pariah now.
Let's see here. Oh, Jake, how's The Witcher on Switch? Are you playing The Witcher?
Yeah, I am playing The Witcher. I haven't gotten too far. I think I'm like in the first little town, but I did my combat training, and it's really fun. I mean,
that's nice.
The animation on it is incredible. I basically played just to get to a cutscene so I can watch it, because it's so fun.
Is that the game you've played the most recently? Mm.
No, well, because we're developing a video game for NADPOD.
Mm.
So I've been playing like 2D RPG games to try to like get my head in that space so I can be helpful in the conversations, because I don't know shit about video games.
What's a 2D RPG game? What's an example of that?
South Park Stick of Truth is one that I've been playing.
Huh. I wonder if the Zelda game I played for Super Nintendo would count as that.
I don't think that one's 2D. Like, 2D basically looks like South Park animation.
Oh, it's like paper.
Yeah.
What about Paper Mario? Isn't that a thing?
Yes, that would be one, I think. I haven't played that one, but I think that's one of them. At least the animation style it is.
I have a 4-bedroom apartment in NYC, writes Andy Ricks, all to myself. How do I not go crazy?
4-bedroom apartment? I don't think I've ever like seen such a thing here. That's so many bedrooms.
Yeah. Although those can also be like really small. Like, didn't your sister live in like where it was like 4 bedrooms and that was it?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. And also technically the Rosies lived in a 4-bedroom, but like they didn't have walls that went all the way to the ceiling, and some person lived in a loft that was only 3 feet high, and Dave's room had a sliding closet door and no windows. So yeah, like they'll call anything usually, a 4-bedroom.
Right. It's converted from a 1-bedroom.
Right. Is that how do I not go crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems incredible. I think you'd go crazier having 3 roommates in a 4-bedroom.
Yeah. If you're by yourself, you want your place to be larger. I think you would go crazier in like a studio. I'm sure there's lots of people who are just like sheltering in place in a studio right now.
Yeah. I mean, everything, I think no matter where you are, if you spend enough time there, you start to go a little insane. It's all right. Different degrees, because some people started out in a place that drove them insane, and some people have a nice place that's starting to drive them insane. I think it helps if you can to just like, I don't know, find a new place to be. Even like I've set up a desk in our office, or so it's an office now. It was like a den, but now it's my office, and it kind of helps. It gave me something to do, and it felt like it changed the space a little bit. Also, taking walks, going on bike rides, leaving and coming back helps, but just be safe, wear a mask, yada yada, you know the deal.
Yeah, I wonder if people are switching houses. Like, that's a good way to fucking get a new scenery. Is like, I will move to your apartment, you move to mine. It's neither better nor worse, but hey, at least we're in a different place, and that's got to help my emotion.
That's true. It's stressful, though, sometimes to not be around your stuff. Like, if I lived in your house for a couple weeks, it'd be nice, because it'd be different, but like, I'd have all your shit, like in all the drawers.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. Being home is nice.
Just give me 3 months. Give me 3 months in your place, and then we can switch back.
Okay. If you had to come to New York City right now, would you prefer to drive or fly?
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. Flying seems dangerous, but it's over quickly. Driving is like a low-grade danger for a week straight. And then where would you stay?
Yeah, you'd have to stay in hotels.
I think I would fly. I would just like put on 3 masks and like goggles and a face shield and gloves and just close my eyes for 6 hours on an airplane and hope to God I didn't get anything.
My God, getting on an airplane seems insane. Speaking of, J. Bick Quinlan says, what country will you go to and infect first once the U.S. tricks the world into opening their borders? Which we can sort of deduce is, where do we want to travel to if this is all over, when this is all over.
Since New Zealand beat the virus, I've been, you know, fantasizing about going there and just like eating in a restaurant, going to a sports bar, traveling around. So my eyes are back on New Zealand, or, you know, back in the Southern Hemisphere.
That's kind of a fun idea. What if we just move to New Zealand?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
I wonder if they're still letting zero cases. Right? I think they're like slowly starting to open their borders, but by the time they reach like we will be the last. We are the last country anybody should allow in. Just like,
definitely
a bunch of tourists from Florida. Hey, we wanted to see the Lord of the Rings tour.
Take us to Hobbit Town.
Sorry, I came from a hot spot, Orlando. We were in Disney World, and we had the bright idea of flying to New Zealand. Yeah, when will they ever let Americans go anywhere? Things are only getting worse here.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I probably won't travel until, like, or I won't, like, leave the country until we're really, really allowed to and encouraged to, when it's like, hey, we beat it, we did it. Because, like, it wouldn't be that fun to go to any country while this is happening anyway.
It seems like it's a post-vaccine fantasy.
Yeah. And then I'll go back to Iceland. I haven't been there in a minute.
Yeah, it's been years now. You haven't taken your bi-yearly trip to Iceland yet.
I do love Reykjavik.
All right, let's take a break, come back, answer some more questions after these messages. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog. And it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike, like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right, cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast,
super simple. It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress. And all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20. All one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you. All right.
And we are back. No unsolicited advice this week, just questions and answers. Gotta
cram them in. That's right.
Yeah. Let's see here. You look like shit, of course. Mm. You look sickly. Again, these are not really questions.
They're concerns. They're concerns. Valid.
Tips for living with a Trump supporter, says Dr. Ocyur Drocyur. Drocyur. 3.
Damn. Move. Move.
Living with a Trump supporter. Although it's pretty nice to live with him now because Trump is slowly like falling apart and melting down and being like objectively bad. So like it'd be fun to like be able to troll a Trump supporter now as, you know, the case numbers keep rising and you'd be like, do you think he did good here? He looks really sweaty here. Is he still like That's good true. To you about that?
Look how slow he went down the stairs.
We were just laughing. I was laughing with my friends and family about how he bragged about going down the stairs, but it's obviously really slow. Isn't that weird? Do you still think that you're a supporter of him? So I would sort of needle him and stuff like that.
Right. I guess that's good. Needling sounds good if you can't move.
Yeah. And then if he wins the election, you get the fuck out of there. If Trump wins again, it's you hightail it out of there. Do you ever fantasize about the election and Joe Biden actually beating Donald Trump? Or are you not allowing yourself to get excited?
I have not really fantasized about that. I sometimes more just like have like a little pang of anxiety, like Jesus, that Trump can't win again. That makes me nervous to think about. It feels like consistently in the last year or two, every time I think that things are bad, they like get worse in a new and surprising way that I wouldn't have expected.
So it makes sense that he would win in that regard.
Or that if you like, I'm not going to get excited about an election in November because I feel like 9 new horrifying, terrible things will happen to them like between now and then.
Right.
And like it will detract from whatever I'm feeling about the election. And also maybe it'll like I don't know. What if that Kraken that we mentioned just like comes out of like the Gulf of Mexico and starts attacking New Orleans, you know, like then they don't have the election because there's a monster that's attacking Earth. Like that can happen.
Right. Or if they're like, oh yeah, mail fraud is bad, so we can't even have an election. Let's do it next year and get back to us then or something like that.
That one's almost as likely as my Kraken.
How many pancakes, writes Sir Trash, is the goat amount?
It's a great question, and I know the answer. And I'm curious to see if you do as well.
I would say 3 stacked on top of each other is the goat amount of pancakes.
Yeah, well, you were fucking close, because it's actually 2. And you don't need 3, because the goat amount of pancakes is 2, because it's associated, it's part of your lumberjack breakfast that comes with eggs, that comes with bacon. It comes with coffee and it comes with OJ. You really gonna have 3 pancakes with that? It's a little too much. It's a little too many.
Yeah, I was thinking more of like a standalone blueberry pancake breakfast.
That's not worth it. You don't have pancakes if you don't have bacon, and you don't have bacon if you can't have eggs. You need savory, you need sweet, you need coffee, and you need the OJ. And you need 2 pancakes. And you wanna put the butter in between the pancakes to melt it really nice, okay?
It is kind of weird to just get pancakes. It's like eating 4 muffins for breakfast. It's like switch it up a little. Get a variety. Pancakes, you don't need that.
There's something you want to split. There's something you want to add on. Like, should we get pancakes too? I like can't dessert. Imagine just being like, yeah, I'm going to have I'm just having pancakes for my breakfast. It's too much.
Yeah, but what about French toast?
What about French toast? What about
it? Do you prefer that to pancakes? Can you have that standalone? Or does it replace pancakes or does it replace toast?
It replaces waffles.
You're yelling.
I'm not a huge fan of French toast. I think all of these things are like they're just like a little sweet bonus breakfast that you'd have with bacon and eggs. That's what I want every day. And then I want like some bites of a waffle, some bites of a pancake. I want someone to split with.
Yeah,
and I don't care about French toast.
That's you'd go pancakes, then waffles, then French toast?
French toast dead last, but I prefer freedom toast.
Nice. Okay, where would you put Freedom Toast?
Above all.
Above French fries, or as I call them, Freedom Fries. I would go waffle, then French toast, then pancakes, in order of best to worst.
I do think waffle is the goat. Waffle's top. Waffle, pancakes, French toast.
Give me a crispy bread. Oh, here's a good question for you. Henry Rick asks, who are the two hottest people in the world, and what would it be like if they were married?
Damn. That's tough. I feel like hottest. Can we do any timeline? Like, can I get 27-year-old Brad Pitt? Can I get that?
Sure. I mean, it's all just a hypothetical. Say, like, two people. You don't have to worry about, like, time traveling or anything like that.
Well, that's the fucking issue. Because if I say Brad Pitt and I get, I mean, he's still beefy, he's still hot, but he's not the hottest guy in the world right now. I feel like that title goes to Harry Styles. Okay.
Okay. Why are you fucking upset? This is supposed to be like a lighthearted.
I'm not upset. I'm having fun. I just want to answer the question well.
Yeah. Okay. Do fucking any timeline. So what? Cleopatra and Brad Pitt. Like,
that's solid.
How? It's not solid. You don't know what these people look like. All right. Give me a current one.
Harry Styles and Margot Robbie.
I'm surprised you went Harry Styles because he's not very jacked. He's more of like a lean, pretty boy.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't really know. Like, oh, I guess maybe Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, Hemsworth is pretty solid. That's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
And then for lady, you're going Margot Robbie?
I think so. Yeah.
That's cool. And what if they were married? How insane.
That'd be crazy.
Would that
Wait, who
be?
Did you say, but who are you, who do you think is the hottest? The hottest
I
couple?
Was going to say Brad Pitt from age 27 and Lindsay Lohan from a wet dream I had when I was 12.
Jesus.
How Christ. Hot is that couple? Imagine them married.
Nice. Nice, dude. You butchered the question.
What? You were the one who was like talking about multiple timelines and shit like that.
You're the one that brought it to a wet dream.
Well, there was no one hotter than Lohan that night. A Tiffany Amber Thiessen type.
Oh wow. I had a wet dream about Tiffany Amber Thiessen when I was a kid.
Yeah. That was a weird moment. Did you think you peed the bed?
I think I knew what it was because we learned about it in school.
You learned about it that day and your brain said, I had to have it.
Did you think you peed the bed?
Yeah.
Did you tell your parents?
Oh, there's no pee. No, I did not tell my parents. Of course I didn't tell my parents that I pee-peed my bed. I'm 21.
I found out it was a night emission and I called my uncle.
Nate File asks, vodka sauce or regular marinara?
Vodka all day. I love vodka sauce. That's like, that was what I got for my birthday dinner last year. I went to Little Italy and I got one of those huge, huge, big ass bowls of vodka sauce pasta. And it was very, very good.
You went to Little-y.
Little-y. Oh my God. Can you imagine? It was so crowded. It was so crowded everywhere. And we had to wait for a table.
Just you staring into a snow globe.
What do you? You're not a sauce guy.
I don't love the sauce. I prefer a bolognese to either of these, but I guess you can add meat to either. So I'll go regular marinara. The vodka, it's a little too creamy for my tastes. I don't love the cheese. I don't love the cream.
I love the cream.
Is there actual vodka in vodka sauce?
I think so, but it's like burned away. It's not like alcoholic.
Yeah, like you don't have to show an ID to buy vodka sauce at Trader Joe's.
Right.
Right.
What's the biggest meal you've ever eaten, Michael or otherwise? That's from Mayo Todd. I guess we could amend that to the biggest meal you've ever eaten, because it's clearly just a stretch for a Keaton pun, right?
Yeah. So the biggest meal I've ever eaten was Michael Keaton in Multiplicity. And
was it Keto? It was yeah. Keto.
Oh, wait, did he mean Keto or Keaton like Michael Keaton?
I think they, I mean, they wrote Keaton, K-E-A-T-O-N.
Okay, I think it's so Eaton. Yeah, that's Michael Keaton. So yeah, before I saw Multiplicity, I ate two cheeseburgers. That was the biggest meal I've ever Michael Keatoned.
Really? Two cheeseburgers?
Yeah, because I also had a side of sauce.
Oh, man, that's good.
What's the biggest meal you've ever had?
When I was in high school, I used to sometimes in the middle of the day go home and have a bacon and cheese omelet and potato chips and a box of Annie's macaroni and cheese.
Wow, that's a lot of cheese.
A lot of food. Oh, I also remember one time I got McDonald's and I got a crispy chicken sandwich, French fries, and I made a bowl of Annie's mac and cheese. So it's something like that. It's like a full meal that's already unhealthy. And then like, I can just eat Annie's macaroni and cheese nonstop. Like I'll never get full of it. It's like, it doesn't count as a meal to me in my head. My body doesn't think of it as food or something.
It's cotton candy.
Like no matter what I've eaten, I can eat an entire box of Annie's macaroni and cheese always, no matter what.
And regardless of what you've keaten, you can also eat Annie's macaroni and cheese.
One time I ate Annie's mac and cheese out of Michael Keaton's ass.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I do eat Annie's macaroni and cheese still. I do. And I think it's good.
You haven't tired of it.
No, and I never will. Especially because now I eat it less because I try to stay trim and I try to stay yoked, try to stay jacked and shredded. So I don't eat it as much, but it's sort of like a little
cheat day.
I probably have it once every like couple months.
That's good.
Yeah. And when I do have it, I go ham. I go all in.
Like you add ham to it?
Yeah, I'll add ham. And like if Jill's having some too, and I'm like, oh, okay, so we'll add a second box. She's like, no, I don't need a whole box. I'm like, I need a whole box. So like, that's...
You grabbing her wrist.
Yeah. She's like, okay, then I don't want any at all. So then I'll just make a box. And then Jill wants a bite. And then I'm like, I never ever could never say no to her. But when she eats a single bite of my Annie's macaroni and cheese, I like... am full of like this jealous rage.
Bart Carey asks, what has Glocal been up to during quarantine? We actually haven't heard from John Wolf during the quarantine, unless you have.
That makes me concerned that we didn't hear from him. I think he was a super spreader.
Really?
Which you actually can't get, they could never prove that he did it on purpose.
Yeah, and even if they can, it's not illegal for him to, like, get sick and then sort of be out and about. Like, it's not nice, and he should have worn a mask, but he wore, right. like, this...
It's morally reprehensible.
Right, he wore, like, a porous mask to a bar, and then he sort of spent the next day out and about, coughing hither and thither, sort of into his fist, but like he made like a circle through his fist, so like it would still like the aerosols would travel through his hand.
That's something Glocal would do too. Like after he's better, he knows he doesn't have it, he will walk around maskless coughing really loud just to sort of ruin people's day.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, not cool, but not illegal. I should say.
Right.
All right, a few more.
Let's make
them count though.
Can fake glasses ever be cool? Asks Brian J. Long.
That's actually an interesting question. Hold on, let me put these on and think about it.
Whoa. Those look cool. I think fake glasses can be cool on you because you had glasses. They were a part of your identity. And then you got LASIK, but you feel comfortable with them on.
The problem is the word fake glasses. They're not fake glasses. They need a rebrand. These are real glasses. Mm-hmm. They're just non-prescription lenses because they're still right. lenses too.
So like, I don't need glasses. I just like wearing glasses. I think they can be cool. I mean, blue light glasses definitely work also. You know, you just, oh, yeah. there's a reason Now, there are reasons for wearing glasses that you don't necessarily need for like a prescription. So I think,
yeah,
I think they can be cool. I think protecting your eyes is cool.
That's cool. And you can start with like clear frames. So it's kind of like more subtle and then build your way up to like the full Clark Kent glasses.
That's right.
Which NBA player, writes Big Spenda, would make the best president?
It's got to be LeBron.
That is sort of the the answer most given, LeBron for president. He's very well spoken. He's very charismatic. He's cool. He's the best. So you would think that he's also the most popular. He can get the most votes. Yeah.
He cares about the whole team. He's never doing anything just for LeBron. You know, he makes a lot of assists.
Yeah.
Doesn't he lead the NBA in assists?
Yeah. This year he's just like fucked around and led the NBA in assists because he just wanted to. And he's that smart. High basketball IQ too. So it probably translates to politics.
Definitely. Yeah. No, he's great. I don't think there's anybody better than LeBron. But let's hear an unpopular answer from you since you know everybody in the NBA.
Well, there's Malcolm Brogdon, who his nickname is the president. So right off the bat, makes me think of him. Chris Paul is the president of the Players Association. He's also a very well-spoken, charismatic leader. So Chris Paul could be a good answer. And then for my dark horse candidate, I'm going with Myers Leonard.
Wow.
Who is last seen shotgunning a Coors Light in the bubble, and that's my president.
Respect. And Joshy Catch says, not really a question, but I've been really into blankets of late. You know, shawls of that nature. Which prompted me to think of the question, have you ever, or will you ever, or could you ever, or would you dare to wear a robe?
So this is unrelated. Just would I wear a robe?
Well, blankets, shawls, comfort, that type of thing. What do you think?
I never gotten into robes for whatever reason. Like when hotels provide robes, I'm rarely just in them. I know you like to don a robe.
Every single time a hotel has a robe, I will take a shower and put on the robe. But I don't have a robe at home, and it seems like during quarantine I especially would have gotten into a robe thing.
Yeah, why don't you get a home robe, or a hobe for short?
I should get a hobe. Perhaps I will. It seems like you would be into a hobe too, because you like, I feel like you spent most of the quarantine in pajama pants. You like pajamas.
Yeah, I like pajamas and I like baths, and usually those two overlap and you wear a robe. But I guess I'm wondering, when you wear a robe after a bath, I put on pajamas. Are you saying I should put on a robe, completely dry off, then put on pajamas after?
Yeah. And sometimes you could put on like pajama pants or boxer shorts with the robe, because the robe is a comfortable thing to kind of like lounge in.
Yeah.
It's hard to think about a robe in the summer. Like I'm hot right now. So I'm like thinking about a robe doesn't spark joy for me, but I know that in the winter I like thinking about robes. So I'm not writing it off entirely.
Right, or you can wear like a silk robe, but you never see like a short robe, like a short-sleeved robe.
Yeah, and I wish you would. I want robes to be disrupted, and I want like a slim, sleek-looking robe. I feel like I always see like Restoration Hardware-style robes that are just like big, chunky. I want something like, I want the Mack Weldon robe, you know?
Oh, I see. So like that's what you said about masks too. You want a dry fit Nike robe.
Yeah, I kind of do. And by the way, I got an Adidas mask and it's not good. So there's no fucking solution. Yeah.
That's a shame. Would you say you want to put the robe back into antimicrobial?
Let's call the episode.
I thought that was pretty fucking clever to have the word robe into the, cause you said you wanted the Mack Weldon of robes. So it's like, moisture wicking shit, the antimicrobial robe. And yeah, you said to end the show there. All right, fine, end the show there. Who won the fucking golden mic? Just
I got the golden mic. I got the golden mic for thinking of hobe, because I did hobe.
What, hobe? First of all, I think that was me. Second of all, hobe is so much worse than antimicrobe.
I know it's not great, and that's why I got the golden mic, because you did say it. That's right, but then I embraced it and I made it what it is, which is iconic. It's hobe. It's a home robe. And then you
you don't have to fucking explain it to me. I know what it is because I said it. I came up with it. I said,
well, that's what gives me the golden mic, is that when you fumble a ball on the 1 yard line, somebody picks it up and runs it in for a touchdown. I'm the fucking MVP.
I ran it in. I spiked it. I ran. I took the ball and I set it. And then at the first two point conversion, I said
antimicrobial because it's such it's so. It's just it's indulgent. No, it's petty. It's small. It's weird. It's weird.
The only thing weird is your attitude towards it. What are you talking about? It's not petty or small, and it's not weird. What?
It's just, it's beneath you to even argue about this at this point, okay?
Fine.
We're belaboring this. It happened. You have the turdy. I have the golden mic. Not a bad episode, all in all. You didn't get the turdy until the fucking, really, the last couple minutes of the show, which means you had a pretty good show.
Yeah, I thought I had a really good show, actually.
Aside from that Hobe fiasco.
That wasn't a fiasco. I said, Hobe, you liked it. You gave yourself a trophy for liking a joke that I made. Whatever, who gives a shit? Give me the fucking golden one.
Let's do that.
Can we take that again where you give me the
Sorry, you said who gives a shit.
If you don't want to do it again, I'll leave that in, and then I'll go from there to the closing theme song.
You said who gives a shit, and now you're
on the record
on mic.
No, I'm saying I'm not going to use this part. If we will redo it, and if you don't want to redo it, then let's end it with who gives a shit.
All right, so let's end. Why don't you end it with who gives a shit and leave out this sad little segment where you beg me to retake something so you can get the trophy, so you can get the golden mic that you didn't earn. We'll leave this part out.
All right. So that's a no-go?
That's a no-go on the trofo.
Yeah. All right. That sucks. But that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you decide?
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Reset. Okay? Reset. We'll take it from who gives a shit, and then we'll end the episode. Just try to be in a positive mood to sign off.
Who gives a shit?
Oh God, this isn't gonna cut in. It's not gonna edit well because it's such different energy. You're locked into needing to use this at this point.
Who gives a shit? Could you talk? Because I have like a frog in my throat now.
You also have something in your eyes. You're openly weeping.
I'm humid in the eye. I have a humid eye and a weird ear. All right. That's it. That's our show. If you want more of us chatting into a microphone, we recommend the HeadGum Podcast on the HeadGum Network. Every week, it's some combination of us with Jeffrey, some other HeadGum friends and family, chatting it up.
Correct. Yep. Oh, yeah. Good time, too.
Very silly. Very silly. Very dumb. We're also making weekly videos, Jake and Amir watch videos, some more AMAs on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Ja, baby.
The opening theme song was Kieran, remember?
I do.
And this Sierra, closing one.
Sierra. Sarah.
This closing one is from somebody whose email name is Patriarch, but his email address is Kevin Melser. So whether he goes by Kevin or Patriarch, thank you for this closing theme song.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you. Hell yeah.
And we will be back, as always, next week. Stay healthy. Stay home. Wear a mask for crying out loudly. Enough already.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are.
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.